pray with me just for a moment, please? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be truly acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Occasionally, someone will ask if I reuse sermons. And the answer is yes. I do from time to time. If the message is still relevant, and if people have seemed to have found it helpful, then I do sometimes try to share those messages with other congregations. The temptation I try to avoid is to reuse a sermon just because it's the easy way out. And in terms of full disclosure this morning, I must say that I wrote this specially for you. This has never been heard before. But recently I chose to share a sermon that that I had used previously. And I think the people enjoyed it and appreciated it. But something hit me after the service, which had never occurred to me. By using that existing sermon, I had missed an opportunity. An opportunity to enter into an adventure with the Holy Spirit. Let me explain what I mean. Many of you know that I came to ministry after being an engineer for quite a few years at Sikorsky. And you know, you probably know one thing about engineers is they like to think that they can just figure everything out for themselves. Absolutely no help needed. And that's how I approached my early sermons. Well, one day I was talking to the wife of a friend of mine who was a corporate pilot at United Technologies. Her name was Miriam. And Miriam became an ordained congregational minister after many years as a music director. So one day she sent me one of her sermons. So I called her up and I said, Miriam, how is it that you write such good sermons? And she said, oh, I just let the Holy Spirit guide me. It's an adventure. Well, I'm on the phone, so she couldn't see me kind of rolling my eyes, saying, oh, okay, if you say so. You know, it sounded a little abstract and way too touchy-feely for an engineer, believe me. But in the years since, I've gradually come to the realization that she was right. I've come to believe that without a doubt, ministers and pastors do not write sermon meditations by themselves. How do I know that? Because when I go back and I reread some of my sermons, and I look at some of the thoughts and the ideas and the phrases, I have no idea where many of them came from. Certainly not from me. And there's no way that I could sit down now and recreate one of those. Each was an adventure at that time. And once it was over, it was time to move on to the next. Why do you think Miriam called it an adventure? I think because it was her experience and is her experience, because she's still doing this, and it's been my experience, and I suspect many pastors, that when we first open the Bible passage for the upcoming week, our first reaction is often what? I don't have a clue as to what I'm going to say to people that will be in any way helpful to them. It's true. So we read it, and we reread it, and we let the words roll around in our minds. It's a leap of faith because we do not know, in most cases, where that passage is going to lead us. The outcome is uncertain. And the reason I know that is because so often we end up in a place much different than where we began. Dolores, in our passage this morning, told us that Jesus said the Holy Spirit will teach us, and we remind us of everything that Jesus has said. Well, when we're writing a sermon, sometimes those words and reminders come easily. Sometimes they take shape much more slowly, even painfully. But they always eventually come. We begin with nothing to say, and we end up cutting so often because we've said too much. So how does any of this affect those of us who generally sit in the pews every week? Well, it's a profound thing that God has chosen to give believers in Christ something as precious and amazing as the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. As Dolores read us from 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us our bodies, your body and mine, is nothing less than the temple of the Holy Spirit. And remember, that's the very same Spirit that came down upon Jesus as he was baptized in the Jordan. And yet, if you're like me, probably don't think very much about that Spirit within us, and perhaps even less about how we might be receptive or open to allowing that Spirit to lead us into new adventures. When I choose to reuse a sermon, I forfeit that opportunity to enter into a new adventure. But this isn't about writing sermons, but something much more important. Would you agree that in life we learn and we grow most when we find ourselves or we place ourselves in new situations? I think it's the same thing when it comes to our spiritual development. When we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to new places that we've never been before, that is when we're most likely to develop new insights about God and new insights about living. So how might we ask the Holy Spirit to invite us into new adventures? How might we become more receptive? Well, you know, those new adventures might begin with something as simple as spending some quiet time. Raise your hand if you have quiet time. Anybody have quiet time here? Very few of us seem to these days. Okay, quiet time in your Bible. They might come as the result of prayer. They might come as the result of interactions with other people in the everyday things of life. When you share God with someone else and the circumstance that they're facing. Every month I share worship with the people at an assisted living facility in Stratford. And last year, at the beginning of Lent, the service just happened to fall on Ash Wednesday. So the folks there asked if I would be willing to administer the ashes. And I did. This year, at the beginning of Lent, the service did not fall on that particular day. And that beginning of Lent, that Ash Wednesday week, I had all kinds of things on my mind and I was busy, just like you do. But there was something kind of needling me in the back of my head that said, you know, I really ought to go down there Wednesday. Seemed like the right thing to do. So I did. And we had our service. But that was only the beginning. After the service, I was asked to go up to the beauty salon where I administered ashes to people sitting right in the chairs having their hair done. I even ministered ashes to one of the hairdressers who was standing poised with the scissors in her hand. And then one of the women who attends the service regularly asked if I might go up to the room of her friend. And there, lying in a hospice bed, was the most beautiful, angelic woman that you might ever imagine, and so appreciative that someone would take the time to offer her ashes, which had been such an important part of her spiritual life. On the way down in the elevator, there was a man right in the elevator who asked me to administer ashes to him. I'm so glad I listened to whatever it was back there that said, forget about whatever it is you're doing and go down there on Wednesday. So, why am I saying that? Why am I sharing that story? Because I think adventures with the Holy Spirit tend to build upon each other. One thing leads to another. One event forms the foundation that makes the next event possible. There was a time, not too many years ago, when the idea of ashes was way out of my comfort zone. It wasn't part of the Protestant Presbyterian tradition in which I was raised. That all changed one day when I went to a Ash Wednesday chapel service at Yale Divinity School. And there, everyone, it seemed, was going up and receiving the ashes, and I was kind of sitting in the back wondering where the door was. And but again, something said, you know, I probably ought to try this. You know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So I approached the altar, and the minister put his hand on my forehead, and he said words from Genesis that I'll never forget. He said, mortal, from dust you have come, and to dust you shall return. Suddenly, the mortality of life and the grace of Christ came together in a unity that was beyond words. I had no idea. I had no idea what I had been missing all those years. Something as simple as that. I suppose there are hundreds of ways to become engaged and drawn up into an adventurous Christian life. Let me suggest just one. One way that you and I could easily begin cultivating this mindset of being more open and more receptive to the whisperings of whatever it is back there, the whisperings of the Holy Spirit. Again, as Dolores said, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will remind us and teach us of everything. So here's an experiment that you and I can do even this evening. And it kind of plays to and is along the lines of what I was talking about when we develop sermons. Take your Bible and open it at random. This is like some kind of a card trick or something. Here, take the Bible, open it at random. If you come about a passage that is pretty familiar, maybe you'd like to choose another one. Ask the Holy Spirit to interpret that passage for you in the place you find yourself at this moment. Read it, reread it, pray it back, share it with someone. Try to put it into action in some way in your life. Don't let go of it until it speaks just to you. It may come easily. It may take some time, an hour, a day, perhaps even a week. How long isn't important. The point is that the Holy Spirit will interpret that for you in a fresh way. How you see that passage may be totally different than how you see that passage based upon your circumstance. That's the beauty of Scripture. It speaks fresh. The Spirit, and you know, why is that? It's because the Holy Spirit sees us from the inside out. The Holy Spirit can take those words right off the page and customize it into an experience that's just for you. There's a variation on that. Susan and Alan and Steve were telling me that John does a dialogue sermon Sunday about once a month where he tells you what the passages are going to be in advance. Now, maybe some of you are already doing this, but you could spend just a little time reflecting on that and pulling out of that passage what it means for you personally, and then compare that with what John has to say. I was in a preaching class a few years ago at Yale Divinity School, and every week, five or six students would stand up and they would preach on the very same passage. And you know what the amazing thing was? Almost all of the sermons were great sermons. But none of them even came close to being the same. Now you might be thinking, you know, this business of the Holy Spirit is hard to get a grip on. You know, I can't see it. I can't touch it. Most of the time, I'm not even sure it's there. How can I expect the Holy Spirit to lead me in new adventures? I mean, come on. Let's get real. I think it's a valid question. And I think the answer is it's a profound mystery. Each of us will have to find out for ourselves. But if we do that experiment of just opening our Bible at random, perhaps we'll begin to see thoughts and ideas coming out that have us asking, just as I did when I reviewed my old sermons, where did those ideas come from? Where did those thoughts come from? Certainly not from me. And if we keep at it, those thoughts and ideas just might become more and more a part of our everyday life. And we'll see them not only when we read the Bible, and we'll see them not only in the response to our prayers, but we'll see them in the paths of the people we cross, because those paths are not going to be the same paths that we've walked over and over again, but there'll be new paths. New paths that are leading us around the bend to see what's new. Paths that by faith will lead us into new adventures with the Holy Spirit. Let's think about that a bit and let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you love us so much that you would give us something as amazing as your Spirit to dwell within us. Lord, I think perhaps by nature many of us are timid and cautious. May your Spirit help us develop a sense of adventure that we might become the true adventurers that you have created us to be, leading us to new abundance and new service and new joy in your name. Amen.